drip. Does your treatment improve your body's disease-fighting function, or are you simply treating the symptoms? The Sinu Plus Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System effectively cleanses your sinuses and upper airwaves of all fungi, bacteria, and pathogens, and clears your sinuses gently and pleasantly. Recommended by leading physicians and healthcare professionals for sinus and allergy symptoms, the Sinu Pulse Elite Advanced Sinus Irrigation System is a natural, very gentle, and soothing drug-free device to relieve symptoms caused by sinus infections, allergies, and the common cold, including post-nasal drip, cough, congestion, sinus headaches, and...
Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dave von Kleist, who, of course, was the Power Hour. And he's going to be a speaker at the conspiracy conference that's going to be held in Santa Clara at the Marriott Hotel on the Great American Parkway on the June 6th and June 7th of this year. That's just a little over 3 weeks from now. And, we're really looking forward to his being there. A lot of the people we know. I'm going to give the lead-off speech on Saturday morning. So if you are going to come, why be certain to be there and be there early? If you're interested in having more information on the conspiracy conference, the number to call is 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. But without further ado, let's go to our special guest this evening, Dave von Kleist. Hey, how are you doing tonight, Dave?
Well, hello, Dr. Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. It's good to have you with us. And so what do you want to talk about tonight? There's just so many things going on in our country today. And suddenly they were besieged by the stories about the finances. And then we have the swine avian human flu. And then we have certainly this move towards an authoritarian society. Everything's in place now. They're certainly putting their satellites in place so they can monitor us from outer space. They're having people go around in the name of the census, getting the GPS locators of every home in America, employing 140,000 people to start tracking the American people. And Sydney, we developed the technology to listen to our cell phones even when they're turned off and record our conversations. So many things I think people should be concerned about, but what do you want to talk about tonight, Dave?
Well, gosh, you just hit all the bases, didn't you, there? There really is so much that's happening, and you've been at this for a long time, trying to alert and educate people, bring information to them that they otherwise wouldn't get from the mainstream networks, and of course there are many others out there like yourself, myself, Joyce, and all the other folks at all the different networks, whether it be the Liberty Network or GCN or Republic or whatever, American Freedom Patriot Radio. All of these different radio stations, everybody has the same desire to alert and hopefully inspire enough people to create a resistance to somehow stop this. But I don't mean to be pessimistic or anything, but I've seen so much division and so much arguing, over all different issues. I mean, you can pick one particular issue, and you will find that there's one group of people or one individual that believes one way about it and another individual that believes another way about it, and they end up arguing with amongst themselves. And meanwhile, the policy or practice that they're both protesting continues to flourish.
And I think you're absolutely right, Dave. This is why sometimes I just don't want to get into personalities. People write me all the time, what do you think of this guy? What do you think of that guy? And I may disagree with some of them, but I usually don't bring it out unless I just think that they're totally fraudulent and dangerous. There's some people I'm convinced that are actually planted within the conservative movement to create the sort of division that you're talking about. What we have to do is keep our eye on the ball. It has to do with liberty. It has to do with God. It has to do with the fact that we're involved in a spiritual battle. And of course, there's an organized, orchestrated effort to neutralize the opposition. There's only a few people on the other side, but they're very well organized. They're very wealthy. And they have a different view of the world. They believe that we need a ruling elite, and that should be them. And that's the battle that's been fought since the beginning of recorded time. We'll be right back. Well, Dave, you go right ahead and pick the story up.
Okay. Are we on commercial break, or are we done?
No, we are just talking right away here, and you go right ahead. Don't be bashful.
Oh, okay. No problem. I just have to get used to the music. I'm so used to the music on our show. Before we went to the break, I want to emphasize that I'm not trying to emphasize pessimism, but the point here is that we are up against such insurmountable odds at this point. They're not necessarily insurmountable. I mean, we all know what has to happen. We're going to have to somehow call on a higher power or call his name or whatever scripture that you want to quote from, because we're going to need the power of God Almighty to overcome this multi-headed beast that's taken over not just our country, but the entire Western world. And, you know, I was thinking, Dr. Stan, some time ago, about in Revelation, it talks about the number 666, and it's the number of a man. You know, it got me to thinking, is it possible that the word man was a misinterpretation? Is it possible that it could be a person, a number of a person? Because if it's a number of a person, you and I both know that a corporation legally is a person, a legal fiction. And if that is true, then is it possible that the beast, the Antichrist itself, is the corporation? And I, when I say the corporation, I mean the corporate mindset, the idea. I mean, when you do a psychological analysis of what a corporation is as a person and what it does, it is nothing less than psychopathic. And I think you're probably well aware of there's a documentary film called The Corporation that does exactly that. And all of the descriptions of what a corporation does and what it's capable of doing would fit into any description of an antichrist that you could possibly come up with. So is it possible that corporatism itself, the fact that we've all been dragged into this legal fiction, whether people want to argue the fact of whether your name is in all capital letters or whether it's uppercase and lowercase. The bottom line here is that we have all been sucked into this 14th Amendment citizenry, where the application of the 13th Amendment, not the original one, but the 13th Amendment that talks about involuntary servitude. Now, if there's such a thing as involuntary servitude, it indicates to me that there is such a thing as voluntary servitude. And isn't that what so many Americans, and indeed there are...
Hold that thought right there. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Dave is just simply talking about these ideas that, you know, what is there an Antichrist? We're told in the Bible there's an Antichrist. And he's suggesting that maybe the Antichrist is the corporate entity. Now, of course, here again, we spend all of our time already sort of arguing is it or isn't it, rather than addressing the real issue, and that is that there are real live people out there at the highest levels of our government who are working against freedom. And there is a master plan. They really are detention camps in America. They really have passed legislation that has done away with the Posse Comitatus Act, and even though the Congress has certainly reinstituted it, why we have people in government who don't believe in the law. So do you think that it is productive to argue and back and forth, well, is the Antichrist a corporation, or should we really talk about the enemy, what they're doing, because that is how we're going to get people mobilized when they realize that they're free freedom is endangered, because you and I will never know what the answer to your question that you've raised is until we have lost our freedom. I think right now we need to get people concerned about the loss of freedom. And all
absolutely.
Of these programs...
Absolutely. And the last thing that I think that you or I or anyone listening to this program wants is to see an outbreak of an armed revolution. Because that's a fight that we cannot win. I mean, we're up against an out-of-control government that has unlimited funds, unlimited resources, unlimited weaponry, and they have technology available to them that dwarfs anything that you or I or any of the listeners could possibly have. So, I mean, the last thing that any of us wants is to see armed resistance. I mean, it may come to that. There have been many trend forecasters like Gerald Celente or Jim Brown or Peter Schiff or many, many, many others that are talking about this coming summer as being the summer of unrest and the fact that we may be moving into a greatest depression. Now, if all these things are going to happen, they will happen because of the fact that the American people, and indeed the people of the Western world, have missed who the enemy is. And this is why I wanted to bring up this issue about the corporation, because if we can fight them on that level, I don't think that we can fight them on any other level, because the other level is the unthinkable and the unwinnable. And that's the only reason that I brought that up, because when people understand what the mentality of what drives these people is absolutely inhuman. They have no compassion. They have no care of their fellow man. And this is why I think that out at the Bohemian Grove, we've all heard of the cremation of care ceremony. They cremate or they destroy their ability to care for their fellow man. And as long as the people that are running things in government, and when you say government, i.e. the corporations, because you, Stan, you know it, I know it, we've discussed this, it is the military-industrial complex, the international, multinational banks and corporations that set policy, not just for the United States, but I've been abroad, the same policies, the same methodology that we're seeing here in the United States, and whether you want to talk about the forced vaccination programs or fluoridation of the water or the pushing of pharmaceuticals as opposed to naturopathic or homeopathic or herbal remedies. All of these things feed the corporation. And this is why I wanted to bring this up, because there is no link that you could possibly think of that does not lead up the financial food chain to the same small cast of characters that are members of the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission. It all goes right back to them. And the thing that motivates them is the bottom line, is their pockets.
Well, I think that there is a spiritual component to the whole thing, Dave, and I think this is what most people who really, of course, have written about this and talk about it have missed. There's some people...
Absolutely.
For instance,
you know as well as I do that good people, I mean really good, moral, wholesome, loving, compassionate people do not lust for money or power. I mean, it's not even an option for us. I mean, I don't want to be filthy rich. What for? I can't take it with me. I want to lay my treasures up in heaven. You know, and I certainly don't want to subjugate or tell somebody else how they should live. So money or power are just not issues in my mind. But the point is that the powers that be do lust for money and power. So the question is, if good people don't lust for money and power, who has all the money and power? And the common sense answer is bad people. And that's just the way it is. It's sort of human nature. It's sort of, you know, it rises to the top. And this is something that I think that we all just have to, you know, cut right down to the absolute bare essential common sense facts of life.
Well, I think that, Dave, there are certainly some people who have accumulated a great deal of money who are not bad people, but there are many bad people who, of course, have certainly gained their wealth by compromising their principles and going along with what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. You would call it the Trilateralists, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations. A lot of people in those organizations are just there because they want to get ahead, because that's the way to advance in government or advance in corporations.
Sure.
But the people in the head of this organization, they have more than just an idea for money and power. They want to create a world government. And they
right.
want to destroy Christianity, because that is the common denominator behind almost everything going on today, is an intense hatred of the God of the Bible. And, of course, motivated with the idea of bringing about the one world government that has been foretold for thousands of years in the Holy Scriptures.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Anyone who has morals, anyone who lives by what they believe in, by the scriptures, represents a threat to these people, because they certainly don't live by the scriptures. And you're absolutely right. There is an effort out there to destroy Christianity or anybody that has, a belief in God Almighty, and that we're going to have to answer for what we do. Instant karma is going to get every single one of us, whether we want to believe it or not. And the bottom line here is that, you're hitting the nail right on the head. And like I said, it is a spiritual battle. And that's why I wanted to make the point that good people don't lust for money or power. If good Christian people don't want to follow those particular pursuits. And this is why I find it absolutely amazing when I see some of the television evangelists out there with their, well, you know what I'm talking about, My gosh, they're living such extravagant lives, and they've got, so many Rolls Royces and huge homes and basically begging for money all the time so that they can maintain their lifestyles. And that's not what it's all about. That is absolutely not what it's all about. There's so many that are misguided, so many that are misled. If Jesus were here today, he would look around at some of the Christians and say, "What are you thinking?"
I think that we have an awful lot of people who talk about Christianity but really don't believe in Christianity. That's the tragedy. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. On the other hand, we have some ministers who are just totally dedicated to doing the Lord's work and trying to get people to come into a personal relationship with our Lord. So maybe we can't paint people with a brush, but we can say, and I agree with you, there's some of the people with the mega ministries, and especially the mega television ministries, who are up there, making all sorts of requests for money. I remember one of them wanted to collect money so they could buy this airplane, so they could fly people into,
right.
the primitive areas, so they could do eye surgery and all these other things. And are you just giving the money? We got this plane. We're going to have it all ready, and we're going to use it as an aerial infirmary. And of course, once he got the money, he was using it to fly in supplies to his own mines in the Congo. And
exactly.
Of course, when that was brought out why somebody, he said, well, if this really wasn't equipped, to fly in medical supplies. We could supply in other supplies, but to my minds, but the plane wasn't equipped to fly in medical supplies. Total hypocrisy, and nobody wants
Absolutely.
To say it. Well, anyway, go ahead, Dave.
I remember a book, I can't remember the title of the book, but the author was Rick Joyner. Do you remember Rick Joyner?
I sure do. I don't.
Yeah, he wrote a book, and in the book there was a story about a man who had a dream. And he dreamed that he died, and he was sitting on the shores of the lake of fire. He was in hell. And as he looked out across the lake, he saw there were thousands and thousands of floating bodies, a very macabre scene, all these bodies floating face down. And way out from the lake, from the shore, there was a man who was wading through the water. And one by one, he was picking up the body, grabbing the head by the hair and pulling it up and looking at the face. And then he'd throw the body back down. And he'd go to another body, and he'd pick up, and he'd look at the face, and he'd throw the face back down. And he was going from body to body to body, looking at all these different faces and throwing them down. And the man who was having the dream was sitting on the shore watching this astonishing scene. And as the waiting man went from body to body, from face to face, he got a little closer to shore, so the man on the shore could call out to him. And the man on the shore, having a dream, called out, and he says, "Sir, what are you doing?" And the man looked at yet another face, and he threw the face down in the lake of fire, and he turned to the man on the shore, and he said, "I'm looking for the preacher who lied to me."
That's a very, very pointed story. And the difficulty is that today,
there are so many preachers out there that are lying to their flocks, so many preachers that have missed the point. So many preachers out there that are listening to the government when they quote Romans 13 and say you have to obey a government, but they never entertain the idea that possibly this government has moved so far away from godly principles that it deserves neither our respect or our servitude.
All right. Well, I certainly could not disagree with anything you've said there. We are in real trouble because I think the church has lost its way. Probably the most popular book in America today, next to the Bible, is something called The Shack, which is totally heretical. And yet, of course, in the community where I live, one of the largest churches, invited the author to come to speak. The largest Christian school in the area has had the author there. I mean, what has happened? Well, maybe nobody, I'm sure a lot of people really don't understand the meaning and the significance of that.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Financial battlefield, but it is a battle, and most people don't even realize it's a problem. They're just waiting, suddenly till we get to the football season or till things get back the way they were. And I think that we have to let people know things are not going to go back the way they were. The America we knew 5 years ago is not going to exist. The prosperity that we've lived with for so many years, probably, if it ever does return, it'll be 10 to 20 years from now before anything has really changed. You study the history of the Great Depression, 1929. It was 1954 before the stock market even got back to where it had been in 1929. 1954, I think, was when it finally got back. And by then, of course, we'd had tremendous inflation, so certainly we may never have gotten back to where we were in 1929, and I suspect we will never get back to where we were because it was all make-believe. It was a means of bribing us. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And David was just saying that suddenly he thinks that there are a lot of Christians out there that suddenly are going to be very offended by what he's saying. But you know, there's a lot of false teaching right now in our church. The fact that the Shack is certainly probably the second most popular book in Christian circles today. It's being sold in Christian bookstores throughout the world, and it is totally heretical. And if you need more information on that, we'll send you to Eric Barger's website, or we'll have Eric on again and be carrying his DVD, which is excellent. But people have forgotten that what it says in the Scriptures. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there will be that find it. And few there will be that find it. We're supposedly a 60% Christian nation today, but as we look and see what's happened to our country, could these things be going on in a Christian nation? Would a Christian nature tolerate torturing many times of innocent people, even after they'd told everything that they do without torture? Why would anybody want to torture people who had already given up all the important information? And, of course, I think we have a pretty good idea that there are some people who are just inherently evil. Once you understand that, it's so easy to understand really what's going on today. Go right ahead, Dave.
Well, absolutely. You know, there are very evil people out there, and that's we're going right back full circle. We come to the battle of good versus evil, the battle of Satan versus God Almighty. And, you know, there are so many people out there that believe in the rapture. 144,000 people will be raptured out. Well, how many Christians are there out there that believe that? And how many Christians out there believe that they will be the ones that are raptured out? The simple fact is, Dr. Stan, is that there are millions and millions of people that believe in the rapture, and that millions and millions and millions of people all believe that they're going to be the ones that are raptured out of here. Well, unfortunately, if there are millions and millions of people out there that believe that, and only 144,000 are going to be raptured out, that means that millions and millions of Christians are wrong. And this is something we have to realize. We have to realize our humility. We have to realize what it is to be truly humble, to truly realize how small we are in the grand scheme of things, in God's plan, and understand that you know, there is the possibility that we all, every single one of us, myself included, could be wrong about something. You know, and it's a very difficult thing for us to accept that a certain belief that we had was wrong. I mean, look at the great awakening process that many of us had to go through to just realize that there was a new world order out there. I mean, a lot of us, you know, said, oh, that's crazy. What do you mean the Federal Reserve isn't federal? That's ridiculous. Oh, what do you mean the IRS doesn't have jurisdiction in the United States? That's insane. You know, we all know the waking up process. It's very hard to let go of long established belief systems and the schemas of the world that were given to us by our parents and by our parents' parents. The point is that we all have the capacity and likelihood that we could be wrong about what we think and what we believe, whether it be what we are, our core beliefs about Christianity, or our core beliefs about government, core beliefs about anything. But in order to overcome that, we just have to have the ability to say, look, I could be wrong, and keep an open mind.
Well, I think that the one thing we can do is, of course, we try to use our own intelligence, we're going to get into real trouble. I think we have to go to the scriptures,
we have
to try to understand the scriptures. Yes, there will be disagreements about them, but the basic core beliefs are fairly well accepted and have been accepted for 2,000 years. So the minor variations between Calvinists and Arminians and the others, well, I think we can put those to one side. The most important thing is, what do we believe about the divinity of Jesus Christ? And what do we believe about the prophecies that I feel are being fulfilled today? That's a 1940 rendition of God Bless America by Kate Smith, but I never tire of hearing it, and we just don't hear this much anymore. This sort of song is not politically correct for those people who want to destroy America and merge us into the one world government, and so they've made it certain that we're not going to hear really patriotic songs that will inspire belief in God and family and country. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Dave Von Kleist of the Power Hour. And, of course, we had Dave on tonight because he'll be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference. It's going to be the 6th and 7th of June. That's just a little over 3 weeks from now. And it's going to be up at the Marriott Hotel, the Great American Parkway, up there in Santa Clara. And, of course, people are coming from all over the country. And if you're interested, you can certainly go up to the website, radio at the Conspiracy Con. .com. That's www.conspiracycon.com, and make your reservations, find out all the details, information, and certainly I'll be giving the lead-off speaker. Dave, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be taking a little bit of a right turn or a left turn or something from all the mainstream conspiracy things, I want to focus in on how important it is for entertainment. Entertainment, if you look through history, it was always the entertainers that helped the people get through the difficult times. I mean, look what happened during the Great Depression. I mean, it was a boom in the entertainment industry. And, you know, it is the entertainers that bring information to the people. I mean, if you go back through history, it was the musicians and the balladeers and the minstrels that were feared greater than standing armies by the kings and queens, because it was the minstrels that traveled from village to village and town to town, and they sang and they joked and they did spoofs and skits about the hypocrisy of the reigning king or queen. And it was information that was traveling around the villages around the countryside through the words and the music and the actions of the entertainers. And I think that we are going to see that exact same thing happening now. I mean, we're seeing it unfold right now. The mainstream networks are completely controlled by government agencies and by corporations. And any type of information, aside from radio shows like this one or ours, are pretty much falling on a very small number of ears. The overwhelming majority of Americans are tuned into their iPods or their TVs or whatever. And this is why using entertainment to be able to get a message across can somehow get to some of those people that otherwise would never get the message. And so that's what I'm going to be focusing on, how valuable it is for people to not overlook the minstrels, the musicians, the entertainers, the comedians. Because in these coming times, we're going to need them, and we're going to need them more than we know right now.
Well, you know, that's really very interesting. I've often said that you'll learn a lot more about what's really going on in Washington, D.C. by watching the opening skit on Saturday Night Live. And you know, even though it's slapstick comedy, there is a great deal of truth in the parodies that they put on. A parody on what's going on, which they could never say, you know, if it's being reported as news about, for instance, how Dick Cheney controlled George Bush, and certainly about the foolishness, the most recent one was the foolishness of the stress test that they had, where everybody they test the banks to see how solvent they were, and they all had to pass. In fact, they specifically designed it so nobody would fail, not even they were going to have pass and fail, then they were going to have pass and pass with an asterisk, but then they ended up just taking the asterisk off, so it was pass and pass. That was going to happen, and that's exactly what it was, but people could begin to understand that it's all fraudulent. I think that you're absolutely right. What we need are entertainers, and of course, I believe that music can have a tremendous impact. I believe that song we just heard, God Bless America, should be sung and should be played on every radio station and every home on a regular basis to rekindle that love of country, which was once so paramount to the very foundation of our society, and the realization that we have an invisible government. In fact, I recently checked out today an article that was written by Robert Reich, who was Secretary of Labor under Clinton. It was an article, an interview he gave in 1999 to USA Today, where he said, you know, Congress is totally irrelevant. I mean, certainly Congress doesn't run the government. Congress is simply a front, but Alan Greenspan and the Federal Reserve System run our government. Now, here's a Rhodes Scholar, certainly the Secretary of the Treasury, and he really said it. We checked this out to make sure it was an accurate statement. It's all over the Internet. January 7th, 1999. Congress is irrelevant. It was irrelevant 10 years ago. It's even more irrelevant today. They give their speeches. They pound their chests. They fight back and forth. But, of course, it's all smoke and mirrors. It's all simply rhetoric over reality. It's to give you the idea we have representative government. Most of these people are bought and paid for, and very few of them have the courage to stand up against the establishment, because if they do, the establishment will come after them, get them income tax evasion, or, like, of course, Hale Boggs, a congressman who was on the Warren Commission, when his plane went down, the FBI knew where it was. They kept sending out frantic requests for help, and they made sure that the help never came. Many of the congressmen have been killed in small plane crashes, or people like Traficant or George Hansen sent to prison on trumped-up charges. We're talking about what really is going on today. And if you want to be a congressman and stay there, you do what you are told, not certainly represent the people. Well, Dave, certainly our telephone number here, if anybody would like to give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Dave, why don't you get your website out, your website there at the Power Hour, because you and Joyce have some wonderful, wonderful things that everybody should be aware of, and certainly the work that you and Joyce have done for our veterans, the veterans of the, certainly the first Gulf War and Gulf War illness, and of course I think that the wonderful DVD you have on the depleted uranium. Actually, we carry that. It's called Beyond Treason. It is one of the finest productions I've ever seen. Why don't you get your website out there and how people can get in touch with your ministry and how they can hear your programs?
Sure, absolutely. Well, the websites, we have several of them. There's thepowerhour.com, and of course you can listen to the program there. There's also GulfWarVets.com for all the veterans out there. You don't have to be a Gulf War veteran to be able to benefit from all the information there. Tons and tons of Senate reports and congressional hearings and VA reports and after-action reports and nuclear, biological, chemical reports, NBC reports from Schwarzkopf's logs. I mean, just so much information there at GulfWarVets.com. And, of course, if you are a veteran, or even if you're not a vet, if you're active duty, we still continue to give out free DVDs to anyone who simply asks for it. And you can go to beyondtreason.com, and you can get the information on how you can get the free DVD. Because this is information, even if you don't have military, if you're not military, but even if you're a family member of somebody who's in the military, this is information that you absolutely, desperately need. You know, you can't make an informed decision without information, and this is just irrefutable, undeniable documentation. As a matter of fact, when people purchase a copy of Beyond Treason, they don't just get the DVD, they also get a CD-ROM to put in their computer to pull up all the documents that prove everything that's in the DVD. So, and you're a part of that as well, Dr. Stan. Now, you put in a very integral part, a very important contribution to the production of Beyond Treason. So, folks, if you can go to beyondtreason.com, or if you'd like to order a copy or any of the other products that we've got at the Power Hour, you can call us at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com.
And I would simply point out that for any of our listeners, you can go to my website, radioliberty.com, and just go to our satellite uplink, listen live satellite uplink, and you can hear Joyce and Dave 9 hours a day that we share that satellite uplink. So, and how can, if they wanted some other means to listen to your programs, how would they do it?
Well, of course, on shortwave, we broadcast live on WWCR, and that's from 7 until 10 a.m. Central Time on WWCR's morning frequency, and that's 7.490. And there's also an evening replay for those listening on shortwave on WWCR's evening frequency, and that would be 5.070, and that's from 1 until 4 a.m. Central Time. So, I'm sorry, 2 to 5 Central Time.
All right.
Well, one or the other. I'm not up at that hour, so I don't know. It's right in that period of time, though, but it's on the evening frequency, 5070 on WWCR.
All right, well, we had John calling in from Coppertown, but we seem to have lost John, so let's go to Fred, who's calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Fred. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Fred.
I saw a very interesting program on PBS today. It was about the influence of religion in American politics with Simon Shema.
Okay.
And I just wanted to say that I'd like to say that I think we are very special in this country because we have the Christian religion, but it does a couple things that I think people forget, positive things. First of all, opposed to other religions, it stresses moral action. And it also stresses the equality of the believers. Which is not really true with what had come before, if you look at the ancient world.
Right, I think this is what America has been different than any other nation. Our revolution was entirely different than the French Revolution that followed just a few years after the American Revolution, because there they wanted to have man create a perfect society without God, whereas, of course, in this country, why the Declaration of Independence proclaimed that our freedoms came from God and the governments were instituted among men to preserve our God-given freedom. So
right.
We have a unique heritage. Unfortunately, we don't teach that in school, and few people really understand the real implications of the Declaration. Anything else you want to say there, Fred, before we let you go?
The show basically concluded that we have the power of belief and the power of freedom, and you don't really have that anywhere else.
You're absolutely right, but the difficulty is, of course, that many of the politicians use Christianity and use the Christian leaders. And I'll never forget sitting right across from George Bush as he proclaimed to a group of Christians how he'd been saved by Billy Graham, and of course for 8 years he professed to be a Christian, and then as he's leaving office he says, well, there are lots of roads to God, we all worship the same God, the Muslims, the Hindus, and really, of course, the Bible isn't necessarily accurate, got a lot of great stories. And George Bush managed to fool all the Christians, and incidentally this is beautifully covered in a book we're carrying and we have now called Family of Secrets, because they had to keep it a secret from the Christians here in America that they were being hoodwinked by a very, very clever man, not George Bush, but the people who controlled him. Hey, thanks so much. Let's go to Sandy, calling from Yakima. Sandy, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, Dr. Stan. I had a comment about something that is happening to me in my church. They tried to give me Joyce Meyer books to read. And I said, I don't study with Joyce Meyer. She's left the basic tenets of the faith. And this is the associate pastor's wife that's doing this, and other women, and they even quote Joyce Meyer during our Bible studies on Sunday. And the only thing I can think to do about this is just pray against that spirit that has pervaded our church.
Well, I really don't know that much about. Do you know anything about Joyce Meyer and her teachings, Dave?
No, not really. I mean, she's one of yet so many other televangelists. I mean, I've seen her television program, and yes, she does hit the nail on the head. She's very good at some of the things that she does. But like I said, truth is like pregnancy. You know, you can't be mostly pregnant or a little bit pregnant. You're either pregnant or you're not. And it's the same thing could be said about the truth. The truth is either the truth or it isn't. You can't have most of the truth. And, the previous caller said something profound there. You know, he said this is a country of belief and action. And that's very, very important. People have to understand that we have a responsibility to take action. I mean, Scripture did say that you should sell your cloak and take up a sword. And that means if you must go naked and fight, you know, those that would take your freedoms and take your life away, then that's what you must do. And also in the book, in the Bible, it mentions the book of Jasher twice, in 2 Samuel and in the book of Joshua. It says, is it not written in the book of Jasher? It also says, behold, it is written in the book of Jasher. And so I got a copy of the book of Jasher, and I read it. And what it is, it's the first six books of Genesis in much greater detail. I mean, for every one page in the King James Version, there's 10 pages in the book of Jasher. And I found it was just amazing reading to find how the people, the truly godly people, had to fight to defend righteousness, to defend light and love and God's world. And they had to fight. You can't just, you know, lay over and be complacent and say, oh, well, you know, Jesus would turn the other cheek. No, Jesus would punch the guy out. Well, you think he asked the money changers in the temple to please leave? Would you please go away? No, he kicked their butts. So, I mean, we have to be motivated enough, and we have to overcome complacency. We have to overcome this this false doctrine of if you're going to be truly godly, if you're truly Jesus-like, then you won't raise a finger to the opposition when they come and start slaughtering your family. I'm sorry. No, that's not true. The way I understand it, freedom is not free. And sometimes you have to fight to defend it. I mean, there were preachers and deacons and reverends that took up arms against King George in the First Revolution. And that's how we got our country. So, I mean, occasionally you have to fight. Yes, blood has to be shed, and tears have to be shed as well.
Well, I think, Sandy, all you can do really is pray. I really don't know enough about Joyce Meyer, but if she is not adhering to the basic tenets of Christianity, why, certainly you should make your feelings known to other people in the church. Either that or pick up and leave the church, which you hate to do that because that's where you have your roots. But Cindy, you have to be able to defend your position. You can call me off the air. Maybe we could look into it together. But I really am not an expert at all on Joyce Meyer's ministry. So I'm going to be like that unidentifiable source who declined to be quoted but set off the record that he had no comment. But I appreciate so much your calling us.
Thank you for telling us the truth, both of you.
God bless you. Thanks
you
very much. Well, of course, our guest this evening has been Dave von Kleist, and we really are involved in a spiritual battle. When you understand that, so much of what is going on really begins to make sense. So we do hope, of course, that you'll go to Power Hour. You'll get the material that they have there. Joyce and Dave do a wonderful, wonderful job, and we really feel very, very privileged to be able to share the satellite time with them. You'll find it at RadioLiberty.com, or you go to the Power Hour, and I'm sure that you can hear Radio Liberty. So we certainly are working towards the same goal, and that is to educate the American people while we can, to understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Well, Dave, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up tonight's program.
Oh, okay. I hope I wasn't too controversial.
No, you weren't. I certainly appreciated everything you had to say, and I think it was a very...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
That's conspiracycon.com on the internet, or you can call 925-449-6844. That's 925-449-6844. And then, of course, we want to put a plug in for the Radio Liberty Annual Conference. That's going to be on the 25th of October of this year. We had pretty close to 180 people last year, and I think we'll do better this year. So we hope that you'll be able to come. It's on a Sunday. We have that because we seem to get a much better turnout, and I think it's a very important event. We'll have certainly Dr. Blaylock will be coming back again and to give us some entirely different talks. We'll have a Dr. Tom Horn will be there. We've got a great lineup of speakers. So if you're interested in coming, 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we want to mention that we have the book. We just got it in, The Family of Secrets, Russ Baker's book on the Bush family, and, of course, fascinating material he has. That's Family of Secrets by Russ Baker. We have Meltdown. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list for some time, written by our good friend, Professor Thomas Wood. And it goes into really the background of the financial collapse that's going on today. He does a good job of explaining the concepts of the Austrian school of economics, and basically the idea that if government had just get out of the way, this whole thing would have been over long ago, but they're not going to let it be corrected. They're going to keep pouring money in and eventually destroy the value of our currency. And von Mises, of course, Ludwig von Mises, the father of the Austrian school of economics, was a key figure. It's a shame his philosophy is not being used today. If it were, we would not be in the mess we are. So, again, the book Meltdown, and, of course, the book Financial, of the Family of Secrets. We do, of course, have the book The Coming Battle, written in 1899. Why is that important? Because the author, Mr. Walther, actually Warburg, anticipated everything going on today. We have a book written in 1935 by Gertrude Kukin called The Money Creators. And ladies and gentlemen, they've created false prosperity, and now, of course, they've shut down our financial markets, and they've done it intentionally. And if you want to know how they did it, you need, of course, to read my November, December, January, February, and March newsletters available at RadioLiberty.com. Or, of course, they will be available, and the syllabus will be handing out at the conference. It's called Financial Armageddon. We have some older copies of the syllabus. If you'd like to get one now, the Financial Armageddon syllabus, it's important that you understand what is really going on today. In fact, we include there a copy of a letter that was written by Franklin Delano Roosevelt to Colonel House in November of 1933, where he says, as you and I both know, financial elements in the large centers have owned the government of the United States since the days of Andrew Jackson. And then he went on to say, and we're going to see the repeat of the battle between the banks and the government that has been waged through this time, only far worse today. And, of course, that's what happened during the Great Depression. And the banks won, and, of course, they managed to keep things going downhill every time the economy started to recover. Well, they pulled money out of the economy and kept, of course, plunging it down again and again to punish the people for what they were trying to do. punish them for trying to be free. And it's a story that we've seen repeatedly since the first bank of the United States was established in 1791, and the final stage of that battle is being fought today, and most people don't even know the battle is going on. You need to get my talk on the financial tsunami, and the syllabus goes with that. The book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. The book, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. You need to get this information. You need, of course, to help us get it out. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamus, who's a Israeli patriot. He served in the Israeli army. He certainly has lived there for 30 years writing about the corruption in Israel, and because of threats on his life, he's come to the United States, and so Israel's loss is certainly our gain, because we have an opportunity to get Barry's wisdom on what's going on. Of course, we see, of course, the continued conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. And as you know, the American government backs the Israelis, but we also are arming and training the Palestinian army for the new Palestinian state. And these are people who are going to be used as terrorists against Israel. Why are we arming and training Israel's enemies? Why? Because nothing is it appears to be. And, of course, this is what we're trying to get people to look at and to consider. And what we need to do is get people to understand that there are powerful forces working behind the scenes. Most people have no idea. People believe that Mr. Netanyahu is certainly a good conservative, a Jewish leader who wants to preserve Israel, but the truth of the matter is he's a disciple of Henry Kissinger, who really doing everything he can to undermine the Jewish state, despite the fact that Henry Kissinger is Jewish. Now, why would that be? Well, there's so many unanswered questions out there, and this is why we always love to have Barry with us, but even more right now, because, of course, the Pope has been paying a visit to Israel. And the question is Israel going to make some major concessions to the Vatican and turn over Mount Zion and certainly of the holy places to the Vatican? This is simply Barry's conjecture for some time. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. But, Barry, thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
Why don't you tell us what's really going on, and what about the Pope's visit? Or I'll let you pick up the program. You structure it any way you want to.
Yeah, I just spoke with your engineer. He wants to go to Israel. I told him to wait a little while. It's getting a little it's a little up in the air there. But there was hope this week. The Pope is having a miserable visit, and we'll discuss that briefly, but I want to just talk about something very personal and aggravating. I wrote an article
about the papal visit, the whole background, and what I wrote 13 years ago and what's happening this week, and my email went dead. I mean, I could not send or receive nothing. I just want to know there really is surveillance, and it really is very technical and very talented, I suppose. I phoned AT&T. I was on the phone to AT&T yesterday from 9 in the morning to 1:30 in the afternoon. Over 4 hours I was on the phone with really actually miraculous thinking on my feet to sort out what's wrong with my email. I was with the troubleshooters. I was with technicians, a very patient lady named Hope. 4 hours, and they finally narrowed down what caused the cutoff. And the woman just said to me, "Why would someone do this to you?"
Well, I can tell her. You have her call me, and I'll tell her why they would do it to you. You're throwing a lot of people aside. You try to get the truth out. You try to make people think, and that's the last thing that the invisible government that really runs our government wants. We're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Chavez here at the American, at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry, go right ahead.
Well, just so you know, nobody's email is safe. Nobody. They hack into AT&T, and they hack into my computer. A woman I'm friends with has a radio show. Georgette Hughes lost all power on her internet. The same night that I lost it. If they want to shut down the communications of the world, the emails of the world, it's no problem. None whatsoever. And that's what they did to me. Now, I managed to get my article out through a third party, and I assume you got it.
Yes, I did, and thank you so very much.
Did you enjoy it?
Yes, I did.
Well, it must have been one heck of an article for them to block it. But I guess it was. All right, I'm very proud to say I must be irritating somebody. But that article had an effect that I could see. I can see the effect that article had on the Pope's visit. The visit has been, no one's saying the word fiasco yet, but it's coming very, very close to that right now. Just the kind of visit he wished he had stayed home and not taken on.
Well, tell us about the things that have happened, Barry, because I haven't had time to really follow it very closely. You tell our listeners what has happened to the Pope since he went there. We know he went over to Jordan. He was going to have a very elaborate meal in Jordan, but what happened when he got to Israel?
All right, we'll do it chronologically, let's say, rather than by events. He arrives in Israel from Jordan with instructions. He instructs the Israelis not to put any Israeli flags out and not to play the national anthem. Now, there must have been some push and pull, tit-for-tat negotiations, because when the plane landed, they put an Israeli flag on the plane next to a Vatican flag. But I was watching the news, and I saw Israeli flags there. I don't think he got away with that instruction, but he said no playing of the Israeli anthem. Instead, the Jordanian anthem was played with the Israeli anthem. And I mean, what kind of diplomacy is that? I mean, I doubt very much the Israeli national anthem was played in Jordan.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our good friend, Barry Chavez. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is telling us about the Pope's visit. Of course, you're not hearing a lot about that. We know that the Pope went to Jordan, and then he came to Israel. He requested, or at least the people requested, that they not display Israeli flags or play the Israeli national anthem when in the Pope's presence. And apparently they did display the flags, and they played the Jordanian national anthem, but they played the Israeli national anthem along with it. So go pick up the story there.
Yeah, who knows the preparation meetings that resulted in this cockamamie landing of the Pope in Israel with all these rules. But there was very good stuff that was happening as well. All the religious members of the Knesset of the government did not show up, except for one. The science minister showed up. All the rest did not show up for the Pope's arrival. And that means the entire Shas party, all their ministers weren't there. More to the point, the Speaker of the Knesset, Ruvi Rivlin, who is not religious, by the way, was not there. And equally insulting, the two chief rabbis of Israel, Ashkenazi and Sephardi, also did not show up for the arrival of the Pope. Who showed up, of course, for Shimon Peres. That's who showed up. But let's not dive into that. We'll get to him in due time. Now, the rabbis were under incredible pressure from other rabbis not to meet with the Pope at all. The chief rabbinate, chief rabbinate would be Israel's Vatican, essentially. It's the offices of the two chief rabbis issued a proclamation to the Israeli government not to abandon one inch of Israeli soil to the Vatican. They actually sent out an edict to the public and to the government that they have received information that Israel is about to concede land to Vatican sovereignty, and they warned that that is against Jewish law, not to mention biblical law, not to mention modern democratic law. They forbade it, and they didn't show up for the Pope's arrival, the two chief rabbis. Now, they did eventually meet him in their office. They made the Pope go to their office, which, again, is, you know, he is the Pope. At one time, you couldn't tell the Pope that we're not going to meet you except in our office. In normal day-to-day business, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense when the greatest religious leader on the face of the earth arrives. In theory, you go and meet him wherever he wants. They said, we will not meet the Pope unless he comes to our office. Which, you know, is a major, it's a slap in his face. That's what it is. It's a very insulting gesture, no matter how it's played out in the press. It's an insulting gesture. Now, needless to say, the people who met the Pope, I looked at the list, and with all the religious gone, there were some very strange, religious phenomena that I didn't know. But to meet him was Michael Yitzchak Herzog. I'm sorry, he's the welfare minister. We've gone over how crooked he is, how he raised money for Barack and under false pretenses, and how he was under indictment, and how he took the fifth. Whether you remember this or not, I've done it on your show. That's not the, his father, Chaim Herzog, was a very, very crooked president of Israel. But there's something I didn't know. His father, Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog, was the chief rabbi of Israel during the Holocaust. And he went up to the Pope and said that my grandfather, Rabbi Yitzchak Herzog, tried to meet with Pope Pius XII during the Holocaust and after the Holocaust, but he told Benedict that he was rebuffed. But that's not the issue. The issue is more serious than that. Well, one is the issue of dynasties. How the welfare minister's father was the president, and his father was the chief rabbi of Israel. But during the Holocaust, there were Israel shut up about the Holocaust, and we've gone over this horrible issue of Israel's behavior previous to the Holocaust with the Nazis. We've gone over the transfer agreement signed between the Jewish agency, the labor Zionists, and the Nazis.
You know, for our listeners, though, there were people who were working within the Jewish community who did not object to the Holocaust. This is the incredible thing, and those are some of the things that Barry brings out in some of his books, that really this is why they're so very important, and the documentation is there. Why would any Jew not want to oppose the Holocaust? Because they had a different agenda. They were going to use that to force the Jews of Europe to go to Israel after the war was over. Would that be a fair appraisal, Barry?
Yeah, but there's a lot more.
Oh, I know it is, but I don't want to take over the whole program. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's not a bad one-liner.
It's known as a sound clip. Go ahead.
Not bad. But we're not going to dive into this subject. The point of the matter is that his grandfather, he told the Pope that my grandfather tried to meet Pope Pius XII as the chief rabbi of Israel. Pope Pius XII next. The Pope, our Pope Benedict XII has been, Benedict XVI, I'm sorry, has been trying to get Pope Pius XII canonized. He's been working on it all year long to make him a saint. Now, I've done this on the show. I'm not going to go into who Pope Pius was, but he was incredibly complicit in the Holocaust. And certainly, after the Holocaust, he offered his monasteries to save Nazis and give them new identities and so forth. What was the welfare minister of Israel, Yitzhak Herzog, telling the Pope about his grandfather and Pope Pius? This, for some reason, all happened in the opening ceremony. And that, by the way, Lord Almighty, if his grandfather was the chief rabbi of Israel during the Holocaust, he's complicit in all kinds of horrible things. Nonetheless, the issue of Pope Pius. Slowly but surely, all the things the Vatican have done have turned Israel against the papal visits. And if you watch the news, we'll talk about that, but the news is not talking about a triumphant visit. They're talking about a troubled visit to Israel, a problematic visit to Israel, an unpopular visit to Israel.
I see, that's so much different because we're not really getting that news through the regular channels. You're getting it out of Israel.
I'm getting it out of ABC, CBS, and BBC.
Okay, go ahead.
This is everywhere. This is not a secret anymore. You can't keep it. Although I must say, they have kept angles of it a secret, which I do get out of the Israeli media, but I'm also on the phone to Israel a lot. And I've got lots of personal experience and people helping me out. But the Pope, now you saw the Pope at the Yad Vashem Memorial giving a speech which was roundly criticized in Israel. He was not inside the Yad Vashem Museum. He gathered at the memorial, which is, you know, where the eternal flame is kept, and there are names of the dead on the walls and so forth, but he did not go into the museum where Pope Pius is roundly condemned for his complicity in the Holocaust. He refused to go into the Yad Vashem Museum. Now, he gave a speech that the entire Israeli media. And I'm talking about the left Israeli media participated in the round criticism of his dreadful speech. Well, I'll give you an example. He spoke of the killing of the Jews of Europe. Not the murder. Killing and murder are not the same thing. This is a very sensitive issue amongst Jews because Christians have mistranslated the Ten Commandments. There is no thou shalt not kill. It's lo tirzach, do not murder. If you read the Bible, there's plenty of killing going on. Murder is a different thing. The Pope used the word kill, which is incredibly insulting to Israelis, considering their people were murdered. But he didn't say that. His speech at Yad Vashem was considered insulting.
Well, do you think he really understood that that distinction, which I think the average person would not understand?
He understood it very well.
All right, fine. That certainly is a possibility. We need to explore that. But as I'm saying, you think it was intentional, not accidental?
Absolutely intentional.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
I hear music.
You do hear. Well, that means we've got about 29 seconds at this point. So rather than have Barry go on, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Barry Shamish, and, of course, he has very, very strong views. But we always like to hear what Barry has to say because I think it reflects the feeling of many Israelis. And Israel is pivotal to so much of what's going on today. All right, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Barry, go ahead and pick up the story.
Now you start looking at the Israeli media. I don't know why they waited so long, but...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Hatred emanating from Israel is just as strong from the other side as well. Now the Pope went to Yad Vashem after Yad Vashem. The next day he went to the Western Wall. The Western Wall was cleared of all Jews. Never ever was that done for anybody. And I mean, it wasn't done for President Ford or Carter, for nobody. Nope. The wall was never cleared of Jews. It was cleared for the Pope. And that caused tremendous resentment amongst the religious, and by the way, and the not-so-religious as well. They really resented the nerve of him throwing the Jews out of their holiest sites. That did not go over well in Israel. Now, look, you had the usual PR stunts. Peres is escorting him everywhere. Now, I wrote the article, but Peres offering East Jerusalem to the Vatican, and the Israeli media, including the Jerusalem Post, that was included in my article, are reporting that Peres is in favor of conceding is sovereignty over six sites in Israel, not just Jerusalem, also Kfar Nachum, which is called Capernaum, also Caesarea. He's in favor of giving Vatican sovereignty over all these places. And again, Israelis, no matter what you think, really do not want to give the Vatican sovereignty over any land. So Peres really, really pressed hard. Also, Yossi Beilin, same thing, that we have to concede more to the Vatican. They all tried this week to give the Vatican their way. There was a PR buildup. And as I wrote my article, Peres visits Obama on May 6th. The next day, Obama issues a proclamation that the UN flag must fly over East Jerusalem, something I've only been writing for the last 13 years. It was all done the way I said it would be done, but there was a tremendous amount of criticism. Now, I'm going to give myself an ounce of credit before going on about the rebuffing of the Pope that's going on in Israel. But I watched BBC News yesterday, and here's how the mainstream media really, really twists reality. They reported on the protests in downtown Jerusalem and elsewhere in Jerusalem against the papal visit. A rare piece, and it wasn't for very long, I want you to know, but it's a rare piece of the truth that should have been really the lead item, that there were hundreds of Jews protesting the papal visit. So they show a picture, I believe it was Bob Kuntz, I believe it was my friend who organized the rally, holding a sign that says, "Hands off Jerusalem." Now, the message there is plenty clear. Hands out Jerusalem means the Vatican does not get sovereignty over any part of Jerusalem. And that's my research. That's many, many years of me hammering away at this.
Well, now, of course, were any concessions to give land to the Vatican made, or is this simply all stolen?
Oh, we won't know that.
Okay, fine.
We won't know that from this trip. It's not like he was going to get the key to Jerusalem for showing up. The issue, I'll tell you something, though. They tried. Paris tried. The build-up to the papal visit and the handover of the six holy sites was certainly pushed in the Israeli government to the point that the rabbis condemned the government for even thinking this. I hear music.
You do? Well, I think it's exciting that these things are coming to pass because, of course, Israel is really pivotal to everything that's going on today. And it doesn't make sense that Israel would certainly give up the sovereignty over the land there, the Holy Land, to the Catholic Church. I mean, this is not a... And yet, of course, we've seen them recently give up sovereignty over land and downtown Jerusalem to the Russians. Why are they doing this? And why would they be so concerned about the UN flag flying over East Jerusalem? We'll be back in just a moment. Barry, go right ahead. Pick the story up.
Right. Now, I was just talking about the BBC report where they saw a close-up of the man's sign at a protest rally in downtown Jerusalem. It said, "Hands off Jerusalem." The BBC announced that the protesters were against the Pope naming Richard Williamson the Holocaust-denying cardinal by making him a bishop, that this is why they were protesting the papal visit. That wasn't even in the back of their minds. They were protesting Paris's handover of Jerusalem to the Vatican. But the BBC changed the news in a way they actually lied. Just outright misreported lied. It was not a protest over Bishop Williamson. It was a protest over the secret negotiations between the Israeli government and the Vatican. That's what it was. All right, now, again, the reactions from the establishment, I mean, they're getting it every which way. They're getting the criticism in all the newspapers now. Nobody is excited to see the Pope. Nobody is waiting and waving at him along the street wherever the papal bill goes. Nothing like that. He's very unwelcome in Israel. The people wish he'd never come. The people want him to go. He's having a crummy vacation.
And when will he be returning to the Vatican?
He's got a few more days. Mm-hmm. All right, he's got a few more days in this Holy Land yet.
All right.
Now, here's the establishment. The rabbis are pressing all over the place not to meet with the Pope. He's a Nazi. You don't meet with a Nazi Pope. You don't meet with a Pope who's trying to gain hegemony over Jewish land in Israel. You don't do it. So in comes...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Barry Shamist. We're talking about the Pope's visit to the Holy Land. He's going to be there a few more days. And of course, the plan, at least according to Perez, would be to give him sovereignty, give the Vatican sovereignty over six sites in Israel. Of course, we don't know what's been going on, but certainly Perez has been working very closely with the Vatican for many years. Why is Perez working closely with the Vatican? Why does the Vatican want sovereignty over land in Jerusalem? Why did Barack Obama say that the UN flag would be flying over the city of Jerusalem? Lots of unanswered questions. So before we get to answering all of those questions, and maybe we will never know the answer to all of
them. Oh, I know the answer.
All right, well, before we do that, I want you to go ahead and get your website. I want you to tell people how they can get your book, especially your new book, and how they can get your DVDs, or if they'd like to sign you up to give a talk someplace, perhaps at a local convention, how can they reach you?
Well, my new book is The Compromised Land, and it's actually starting to sell. Lo and behold, people are buying it. It is available at lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. You'll see a search box. You press books and then my name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Chalmers. That'll take you to the Compromised Land. And you can download the whole 400-page book for $7, or you can have it sent to your house, but $7 is a pretty good price to download it. My website is barrychamish.com. And, yes, I gave this speech 2 weeks ago in Atlanta saying watch out for the papal visit. Well, even that helped, I think. I think everything is contributing to this fiasco of a papal visit that's taking place right now. If you get enough people over time and you harp on them long enough, you will actually wake them up. And I'm going to repeat something else. My emails went off. I wrote this speech, this article about the papal visit, and I was blocked. And most sophisticatedly at that. So apparently this issue really is becoming an embarrassment to everyone in sight. Now, I won't give that speech. I have other speeches. I've been invited to Hawaii and Canada in the last week. If you want to join and have me address your group, phone me at 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. All right, now let's go back to the rebuffing of the Pope, and I want to get onto other subjects. This was a very busy week, but Rabbi Lau, who was the chief Ashkenazic rabbi of Israel for many, many years, makes an announcement, and he announces that, yes, the Pope was a Nazi. He says he recognizes that the Pope was a Nazi. But if you rebuff the Pope, here's why you don't rebuff the Pope. He's telling the rabbis this. You don't rebuff the Pope because it will endanger Jews in Latin America, which, by the way, is real. But then the next two areas are just nuts. Poland. There are no Jews left in Poland. You don't have to worry about the Polish Jews. They were wiped out by Benedict's Nazi pals. And the Ukraine. Now, the Ukraine is the Eastern the Ukrainian Orthodox Church is Eastern Orthodox. They don't accept the Pope. So all in all, you're going to endanger Jews in places where they don't exist anymore, or who don't recognize the Pope. This is how cockamamie and stupid. Well, the Israeli government did everything possible to muffle the criticism. They even hired their Secret Service agents. One is Itamar Ben-Gvir, the other is Baruch Marzel. They sued the Vatican to get back the treasures stolen by Titus 2,000 years ago. Now, this may seem like it's anti-papal. In fact, it's perfect because it associates outrage against the papal visit with the nut jobs from the extreme, extreme right working for the Israeli secret services. They shut down the Palestinian press building in case it would ruin the visit of the Pope. They did everything possible to muffle the criticism and to have a regular old-time celebration and festival, and it still didn't work. They stopped, let's say, outright hit the streets angry protests, but they made they could not stop the fact that the Israeli, and by the way, the Arabs, who don't like this Pope at all because he once did like a two-line criticism of Islam, quoting some medieval writer, it doesn't matter. Wherever he goes, he's unwelcome. Nobody wants, even Nazareth, he's unwelcome, and he's going to be there. I believe today is Bethlehem Major Square, and I believe Nazareth is today or tomorrow. The majority, it seems like the majority, if you read the news reports, they don't even want him in Nazareth. I mean, this he should have stayed home outright. Now the big issue is, what could Pope Pius have done? I mean, really, the Nazis had overrun Europe. Italy was in the hands of a Nazi ally. What could have the Pope done? And the answer is so, so simple. There was radio. Catholics worldwide listened to the Pope. Half of Germany is Catholic. All he had to do was issue an encyclical that it is a sin to murder Jews. That's all he had to do one afternoon, and the Holocaust would have ended. The German Catholics would not have committed a sin, gone to hell. This and that, they were in 1942 and 3, very religious. It's not the Germany of today. If the Pope had issued an encyclical not to murder Jews, it's a sin, with those words, he would have prevented the Holocaust. Simple as that. The odds are highly in favor that Germans would not have been able to continue with the murders if the Pope had come out against them. And this Pope didn't. And this, well, the current Pope, not Pius the 12th, Benedict the 16th, is trying to turn Pius into a saint. No wonder the Israelis hate him. No wonder. Now, I'm going to drift off from there because there are other very important things that happened this week. And I won't be able to go off and tell you the real background. But the Pope is in Israel. So where does the Prime Minister of Israel go, Benjamin Netanyahu? He goes to the Egyptian resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, which used to be the Israeli resort of Sharm el-Sheikh, a beautiful place, and he has a meeting with Mubarak. Now that's, well, the Pope is in Israel, of course. Okay, he's in Egypt meeting with Mubarak. But that's not the part that really is disturbing if you understand Israeli politics. The really disturbing part is who he went to Sharm el-Sheikh with, and that was his Minister of Industry, Benjamin Ben Eliyahu. I've also discussed him a little bit. He was a major advocate of the Oslo War Treaty. He was in Yitzhak Rabin's cabinet. He came to my street one day. I lived on a very thin cul-de-sac with a school at the end of it. He came to dedicate something at the school. I plastered my front fence and gate this was after the Rabin murder. The Who Murdered Rabin signs and anti-Oslo signs. This Ben Eliyahu was a true danger and risk to Israel when he was in the Rabin cabinet. What is he doing in Netanyahu's cabinet? But not, he's the Minister of Industry, by the way, but not just that. Why did Netanyahu bring him to Egypt to sit with Mubarak? Of all the men, why did he bring Lieberman? Anyone? Why did he bring the pro-Oslo? In my opinion, extremist. But, I'll say it, extremist. What did he bring him to meet Mubarak for of all his cabinet ministers? And I've been making this point that by bringing the Labour Party into the government, and by bringing that, boy, I'm not going to do a Barack, Ehud Barack today. I've got stories about Ehud Barack, but he is in the Israeli cabinet, and he has got a history of felling Likud governments. He was responsible as an army officer for the destruction of Menachem Begin in the first Lebanon War, and the murder of 23 Israeli soldiers in a Syrian ambush at a place called Sultan Yaakov. That was Ehud Barak. Netanyahu has got a first-class saboteur in his cabinet, and that's why he took Ben Eliyahu to the meetings with Mubarak. He's there to watch him. He's there to report. And if he does anything wrong, Netanyahu, Barak will sabotage his government. Again, this is deep intelligence, and you won't get it anywhere else, but I know Israel, and what I just said is absolutely true. Netanyahu has got a government that will bring him down if he does the wrong thing. That simple.
Or maybe he'll bring him down if he does the right thing for Israel, but go ahead.
Well, he won't do that. He's coming as close as he can with his government to, at least on paper and for the public eye, he's saying no Palestinian state and so forth. At the same time, he is backing Abbas. You know this Muhammad Abbas, who in January, his term as president of the Palestinian Authority expired. Now, you would think that there'd be new elections and somebody else would become president, but if there were elections, Hamas would win. So Abbas has been sitting in limbo. Well, as Netanyahu was in Egypt, discussing issues with Mubarak, Abbas was ordered, and who knows who ordered this, all right? That's a different issue, but he was ordered to form a new government. No elections. This is not a democratically elected government. There isn't even a pretense of that anymore. Abbas is forming a new government, and it is going to negotiate with Israel, and democracy can go suck eggs. Okay. That it's that simple.
In fact, it was very interesting today. I was reading that there's a general, American general, who's been training Palestinians over
there. Sure, Keith Davis.
Right, and he's actually trained, I think, 500-man battalions there of the PLO, of the Palestinian Terrorist Organization. He's training the military, providing for them, you know, so that they will be able, of course, to function, you know, supposedly to maintain law and order in this new Palestinian state that we're planning on setting up. But, of course, they will eventually be used, of course, against Israel, because this is simply another parallel terrorist organization, parallel to Hamas, which was actually created many years ago by the Mossad and the CIA. So we create the Mossad, and now create Hamas, now it's the enemy, and now we're, of course, trading and equipping the enemies of Israel. At the same time, we're equipping Israel, and if you look at things from a logical point of view, none of it makes sense. But if you understand, of course, the real thing, the real motive, I believe, is the betrayal of Israel, it all makes sense. But go right ahead, Israel.
Oh, we can go on with that. America created the Taliban during the Carter era, initially to fight Russians and so on and so forth. It goes on forever. Hamas was created as a counterbalance to the PLO with Rabin and Shamir involved in this, but that's a separate issue. We're not going to dive into, well, again, what I report, you're just going to have to accept that your reality is wrong. I mean, there are people who understand that I'm breaking the myths and I'm breaking the propaganda and going into the facts of the matter. It's wrong. And it's not a simple thing for people to accept this, but Netanyahu is not changing anything on the ground. I won't go into the terrorist action. The taxi driver found murdered by the PLO, and that happened, by the way, 2 days ago. The terrorism of the PLO continues unabated, and it's an absolute farce for Netanyahu to say he's going to make peace with Abbas and his new government and the PLO, and that's why he's meeting Mubarak, but he's going to do it. Now, there was a report that came out this week about the fate of the Jews in Judea and Samaria. Obama will not have any expansion of any settlement in Judea and Samaria, and Netanyahu is holding firm on that. Now, this building freeze has gone on way before Netanyahu. This was Olmert. For 4 years, the building freeze in Judea and Samaria were under Olmert. It's continuing under Netanyahu, and here is the result. Of 2,100 Jewish marriages this year in Judea and Samaria, 1,600 of the new couples had to leave their communities, their neighborhoods, their families, and move over the Green Line because there was nowhere for them to go. There's no new housing for a young couple to move into. Okay. And that's how you choke off Judea and Samaria. You don't let anyone live there.
Well, I think that is the plan. Of course, they really intend to turn that all over the Palestinians, just as they've turned the Sinai over and Gaza and Judea and Samaria. Everything is being done, of course, to limit the size of Israel, to make it into a little tiny, non-defensible nation. And that is being done by the people in Washington, D.C., and if the Zionists control Washington, D.C., they're doing an awful poor job, or maybe most of what we hear just isn't true. Well, go right ahead, Barry.
Well, off we go.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The villain. We have a book called The Devil's Game. It was written by some years ago. It's very well documented, and there's no question that we created Hamas working with the Mossad, but you see the intelligence agencies all work together, and now we're doing everything we can, and within this just today they reported that we've just trained and equipped three 500-man battalions for the PLO, which is, these are terrorist organizations, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, the Mohammed Abbas, you know, who really has no status at all, who was voted out of office, who actually lost the elections when they had election with Hamas. They don't care about democracy. They're going to install Hamas. Understand that there is a ruling elite who controls the world, and they have an agenda and an intense hatred of Israel. Once you understand that, why so much of what's going on does begin to make sense. Let me suggest that book entitled The Devil's Game. We have a great new syllabus. It's called The Membership List of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and it gives you simply the membership list of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Group of 30, and tells you what each of these organizations is. It's not simply by coincidence that of the 30 financial leaders of the world in the Group of 30, one of them just happens to head finances of communist China. He is a member of the Communist Party there. Of course, the man who controls the finances here in the United States is Timothy Geithner. He is also a member of the Group of 30. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission, Bilderbergers, Council on Foreign Relations. Also in the Group of 30, Larry Summers, Paul Volcker. There are six members of the Trilateral Commission. There's only 87 of them in the entire country, Americans. And yet, six of them belong to the Group of 30, a very powerful group that most people have no idea that they are directing the finances of our nation. Barack Obama is simply a figurehead for the power elite. 11 members of the Trilateral Commission, either present or immediate past, hold key positions in the Trilateral Commission. The head of Goldman Sachs Bank, Citigroup, and Jimmy Dimon, who is Jamie Dimon, who recently has been a member of the Trilateral Commission. These are all people in the Trilateral Commission. They control the finances, the wealth, the media. They control the Federal Reserve Board. They control the presidency. And between 1976 and the year 2008, between 1976 and 2008, certainly every president and or vice president, in other words, it could be just the vice president, but every president and or the vice president of the United States was a member of the Trilateral Commission. Do you really think we have a free and open elections, or are they all decided ahead of time? That's why you need the membership list of the Brotherhood of Darkness. That's why you need to get on my newsletters. They're available at RadioLiberty.com. We've got some great new books. A Meltdown by certainly a professor. We've had him on for many times before. His name is Thomas Wood. And, of course, he's written the book Meltdown to explain what happened financially and how we got into the mess we are. He doesn't understand the conspiracy and the fact that there really are secret groups. But from a philosophical point of view, this is one of the finest books I've read to explain the economics that you need to know if you hope to be able to survive. We carry the book, The Family of Secrets, is the story of the Bush family by Russ Baker. We just got these in. And then, of course, we have so many other things. If you have not yet seen the DVDs, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginning, Riddles in Stone, or The Eye of the Phoenix, you need to get those DVDs. You need to watch them several times. You need to get other people to watch them. You can get them separately, or you can get them to all together for a suggested gift of $59.95. Our telephone number is 1-800-5-